Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word today, we turn to our second reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have you ever had the opportunity to travel to another country? If you ever get a chance to do so, you may feel like a fish out of water. You see the different customs, the different ways of doing things, the different languages that are spoken. If you go to some countries, you would have to drive on the wrong side of the road to be right. And in other countries, it's bullfighting, not football, that people really love to watch. We are different people in different places with different customs. But there is something that unites us all, whether we live in Mexico or Russia or China or the United States. You see, we are all sinners. We are all lost and condemned creatures by nature. And therefore, because that is the case, we all realize, too, that there is only one way out of that sin. Not by your works, not by what you do, but by a message. A message that points you to one Savior, one who forgives you your sins. So we praise God for beautiful feet that bring that message, and a beautiful faith that receives that message. You and I know that by grace we have been saved, and therefore Paul speaks of this Lord and God who comes and richly blesses us. He richly blesses those, he says, who call on the name of the Lord. And calling on the name of the Lord means more than just saying a prayer to him. Calling on the name of the Lord here means to confess him, to worship him, to trust in him. God richly blesses those who call on the name of the Lord. But then Paul asks all these questions. He says, how is somebody going to call on the name of the Lord unless they believe in the Lord in the first place? And how can somebody believe in the Lord unless they've heard about him? And how can somebody hear about him unless somebody preaches and proclaims about him? And how can anybody preach and proclaim unless somebody is actually sent? You see, there's a whole chain of things that are to happen. This is God's plan, that it must happen in this way. And God says there is no plan B. God doesn't come to us and say, well, if my plan of preaching my message does not change hearts, well, here's another plan you can try. There's only one plan. That one plan is all about a message. And that message is that eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. It must be proclaimed for hearts to hear, hearts to believe, hearts to confess and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And so what does God do? God sends feet. Beautiful feet. Isaiah wrote about it. Paul now also writes about it in Romans. Beautiful feet. When I think of the human body, I don't think of feet as very beautiful. But God says, these feet are beautiful. Maybe you could use this example. If you are sitting in the hospital, and all of a sudden a nurse or doctor runs down the hallway to your room and declares to you, your cancer is gone. Oh, that's good news. What beautiful feet to bring us that good news. And that's what Isaiah was talking about in the Old Testament. Feet, dusty feet, would go over the hills and valleys, and they would be coming to declare to the Israelites in captivity that now their captivity is over, that they are free, that they can go back to the promised land, that they are free, that in that promised land a Savior would be born. Oh, what a message! It's good news. And what beautiful feet that bring it. But even though the feet are beautiful, the people who bring that beautiful message realize their own disqualification, their own lack of righteousness. You see, those who bring the good news are unworthy. They are sinners. Isaiah spoke about it this morning, didn't he? When he stood before the holy God and said, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah recognized his unworthiness to proclaim that message. And then there was Peter, who thought, this Jesus doesn't know anything about fishing. But because he says that I should throw my net over the other side, I'll do it. And he did it. And then he fell in repentance, recognizing, "Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence." Unworthy are we. And all our lives, we would continue to be unworthy until the beautiful feet of the gospel come to us. That beautiful message that changes everything for us, that changes our relationship with that holy, righteous, sinless God. And then we rejoice in that good news that is sent to us, so much so that we want to share it too. Those beautiful feet recognize their own need for that gospel. And because of their own neediness and rejoicing in how God fills that need, we too want to go out and share that message too with others, so that others may be filled with that beautiful gospel, that gospel of forgiveness and grace and mercy. But then Paul speaks about a tragedy. Isaiah spoke about it too in his day as well. Those beautiful feet went out with the gospel, and yet many did not accept that message. It wasn't that they didn't hear it. It's that they simply rejected it. Isaiah would preach the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. If you ever get a chance, read Isaiah 53 and how he prophesied about a Messiah that was to come, one that would be stricken and smitten and afflicted for our sins. And yet amongst the Jews, that message was rejected. "No, it's not all about a Savior," they would think to themselves. "Why, I've got to contribute something to my salvation. It's that Messiah plus the works that I do." And there are many people today who live with that kind of a thought. It's Jesus plus my works. It's Jesus plus what I do that assures me that I will get to heaven one day. And all the while when they think that way, they are rejecting the precious treasure of the message of free and full grace in Jesus Christ. A lot of people would like to think, "Jesus isn't the way, the truth, and the life. Why, there must be many ways to heaven. There must be many truths. You have your truth, I have my truth. Who's to say what truth really is?" And all the while, our Jesus with his beautiful feet desires to come to us and declare, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' beautiful feet walked on this earth in our place, perfectly fulfilling God's holy will. Jesus' beautiful feet went to the highways and byways and called sinful fishermen, people who were otherwise unqualified, to come and not only follow him, but to make fishers of other people. Jesus' beautiful feet were nailed to a cross for you and for me. And because Jesus did that for us, we are his. We are forgiven. We are restored. We have beautiful feet too. God comes to us, as he says in verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Again, you don't see any secondary plan, no plan B. It's all about this. How does faith come? How does God build faith in your heart? It is all through the gospel, the good news, that specific good news about Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, free and full. That is what you rejoice in. No other message but the message about Jesus. And as you grow in that message, our feet become more willing to share that beautiful gospel. As you grow through word and sacrament, your relationship to your Savior becomes a dearer and dearer treasure to you. Maybe you can look back at your life. Maybe you do this often when you think back to beautiful feet who shared God's word with you. Maybe it was a beloved parent who brought you to the font so that you would be made God's child through the water and the word. Maybe it was that Sunday school teacher who lovingly and caringly shared God's dear treasure of his word with you. It happened recently that one of the Sunday school teachers of Christ sent me a little note. And in that note, it stated that there are grandmothers of Christ who are teaching now children of this congregation the very word of God. What a blessing. Beautiful feet proclaiming God's word so that a beautiful faith is instilled and even strengthened in Jesus Christ alone. And in that beautiful message that wonderful Sunday school teacher wrote was also the message that those Sunday school children might actually be working on a song for Lent, a Lenten song that might be sung during the Lenten season. Glory be to Jesus is the name of the hymn. Oh, would it be that the mouths of even babes will proclaim that beautiful message. You too are qualifying. If little kids can proclaim the gospel, so can you. Share it, dear friends. Rejoice in that message. Be the beautiful feet that God has made you to be. And may that gospel remain first and foremost in our lives. You know that it isn't all about a beautiful little church in Door County. It isn't about the beautiful surroundings of Door County that are our main message. It isn't even about the nice welcome on a Sunday morning from fellow members of the church to a visitor. It isn't about coffee hour as the main thing. It takes us back to the message of God's word. And that message of God's word is what we long to hear and long to speak and long to share as we use the beautiful feet that God has given us. Not because of the beauty of the feet, but because of the beauty of the message of God's eternal salvation. Yeah, if you've ever traveled, You know, people are different all over. We are all very, very much the same. Sinners rejoicing in the forgiveness of a Savior. The Lord is the Lord of all. He is the one who gives you beautiful feet. God, help us to use them so that a beautiful faith will be declared to sinners until the day Jesus comes again. Oh, what a beautiful Savior we have. To God alone be the glory. Amen.